Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you.
Kia ora everyone, and welcome to the show today with Maria Meredith. I am a current elected member of the Maungakeke Tamaki Local Board, and I'm also a resident of Glen Innes here in the good old city of Auckland. So this morning I'm going to be chatting to somebody from our community. In my last show we chatted with Malama Mahe, who is a lawyer also from our community. But this morning, everyone, I just want to welcome a newcomer, because, you know, as you know, this year the local government elections are happening in September, and it's a very exciting time, and everyone's out there busy campaigning, including myself and my guest here today. So I just want to welcome Peter McGlashan. Peter is one of four members that are standing for the Maungakeke Tamaki Local Board, but for the Tamaki subdivision. So I just want to welcome Peter and introduce him to everybody in the community. And Peter, welcome.
And yeah,
can
nice
you,
chat.
Yeah, it'll be great if you have a little chat about your background and where you come from, Peter.
Yeah, well, I'm a Hawke's Bay boy originally. I grew up down in Napier, and came to university in Auckland when I was about 17, so back in 1997, which seems an eternity ago now. And I've lived in Auckland ever since, really. I'm Ngāti Pō on my mum's side, and my dad came over from Scotland when he was three. And so, yeah, we're a pretty small family, actually. My mum and dad are both only children. So I've got no uncles or aunties and no first cousins, which is a little bit foreign to most people that I come across. But it makes for pretty quiet Christmases. But it's been, I guess it's been a really enjoyable journey to start to get a bit of a taste as to what you guys have done and your roles in the local board, and got me interested in running myself.
Yeah, and just with your background, you were saying that you grew up in Napier. And so what schools did you go to, Peter?
Yeah, I grew up out in the country in a little place called Puketapu, which is just up behind Taradale in the Hawke's Bay. And there was only about 100 kids there, a little country school. So I had a great upbringing, lots of sport and cross countries and bare feet across the paddocks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I went into Napier Boys High School for my high schooling. My dad's actually just retiring this year from Napier Boys High. He's been there 43 years.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
In the same job as head of physical education down in Napier. His dad's Peter McGlashan as well, which gets a bit confusing. And so I went to Napier Boys High, deputy head boy there, and was captain of first 11 cricket and soccer. Those were my two sports growing up.
Yes.
And then, yeah, we ventured off once I left home to university, and headed up to Auckland. But it's been a interesting journey. I spent most of that time as a professional cricketer, actually, travelling the world and being very fortunate to play sport for a living. And it's only really since I retired from cricket that I've been able to kind of broaden some of the other things that keep me busy.
Oh, that's excellent. And Peter, just so the audiences know, I mean, do you have any siblings in your whānau?
Yeah, so I've got two younger sisters, yes. Sarah McGlashan, who's also a very good cricketer. She's played over 200 games for New Zealand, and she's only recently retired from playing. She's currently living in Tasmania, working for Tasmanian Cricket over there. And my younger sister, Kayla, actually has her own cafe down in Wellington called Retro Grove, which is a business that her and her business partner started up down there. And yeah, so two younger siblings, and we were always pretty close growing up in the Hawke's Bay. And then when we got to high school, we all kind of went off to university, we went off in different directions. So I came up to Auckland, Sarah went down to Christchurch, and sister Kayla went to Wellington. So we pretty much just catch up over Christmas and New Year, really. That's when all the family gets back together.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, that's an awesome plug for Retro Grove. And Retrogrove Cafe in Wellington, everyone. So if you're in Wellington, don't forget to drop into Peter's sister's cafe. So, Peter, you mentioned you've had a long, obviously with Dad being a major influence, and of course you mentioned your sister in the world of sports, and you've been involved in cricket for a very long time. So can you tell us a little bit about, playing cricket and your involvement in TV and radio over the years?
Yeah. So, I mean, cricket was always something that, with the Scottish dad, it was football on dad's side of the family, and mum's side of the family was always cricket. My grandfather, Robin Schofield, was professional cricketer, but it wasn't professional back then. He played for Central Districts back in the 70s, I think, 60s and 70s. And so cricket was always something that my sister and I grew up playing in the backyard with him, and we were just starting to get into rep teams and things when he passed away when I was about 10 or 11. So it was wonderful to kind of follow in his footsteps, really, and to represent CD and become a professional cricketer. And a big part of our journey is kind of owed to those formative years when he looked after us, really. And it's just been a defining part of who we are, who my sister are, as our identities. And over the years, I've been involved with the Players Association, which is effectively the union for the cricketers.
Mm-hmm.
I was the one that convinced my sister that the woman needed to join the Players Association. So the White Ferns, which is the New Zealand women's cricket team, I approached the Players Association, who at the time were only looking after the male players, the men's, and said, look, this isn't really good enough. The women are facing the same battles that the men have years ago. Your constitution doesn't currently allow for them to join, but what can we do about representing the White Ferns, the women's players as well? So have been involved in the Players Association movement and advocacy on behalf of players in that role. I've also been in governance roles, so yes. I've been on the board of Northern District Cricket for a long time, for the last 6 years since I finished playing.
Yeah.
So I have the governance experience there. But along the way, doing a bit of, as you mentioned, some TV and radio stuff as well.
Yes, tell us about that.
Really enjoy getting into broadcasting. It's did a little bit with TV while I was still playing, but found the radio really is, no disrespect to my television adversaries, but radio just seems so much more intellectual, and you need to paint a picture of what's happening in front of you, because the audience aren't there seeing the images that are happening in front of you.
Yes,
so, you're often challenged to articulate the situation and to put yourself in the shoes of the viewer who's listening at home. You're essentially trying to be their set of eyes and ears. So I really enjoy the challenge intellectually that provides, and the fact that you have to constantly fill the airspace. And I've got some wonderful personalities in radio, like Brian Waddle and Jeremy Coney, that I've learnt a lot of over the years. So I've got a pretty well-rounded life. I've got my hands in lots of pies, and that keeps me really busy, but it kind of means that I've got lots of creative outlets as well.
Excellent. Now, Peter, I noticed here, just in looking in some of your answers to the questions I had raised, I was kind of interested in your involvement in the domestic violence campaign. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so when I met my wife, when we first started going out, she had volunteered in her life ever since she was at high school for the Women's Refuge, and had worked for the government in the It's Not Okay campaign for the Ministry of Social Development, and had been involved in an award-winning initiative called Blow the Whistle on Violence back during the 2007 Rugby World Cup, which was away offshore. It was an award-winning initiative that happened in Tauranga.
Yes.
And so leading into the 2011 Rugby World Cup, each winter I was unemployed. The cricket contracts were only 6 months contracts for the summer, so I was always looking for kind of new projects to do each winter, and sometimes it was Sky TV and sometimes it was other things. But leading into the Rugby World Cup that New Zealand hosted in 2011, there was a lot of noise from the domestic violence sector sort of saying, look, that award-winning campaign that happened last time, it was great, what are we doing this time? And there was a sense that, some of the research and some of the anecdotal stories coming back was that, high-profile sporting events can be quite stressful for families, and we know that domestic violence, despite the myths and rumours, isn't caused by alcohol or poverty, but it can be exacerbated by some of those stresses in people's lives. So there is some research overseas and some evidence talking to New Zealand service providers that during high-profile events like Rugby World Cups or All Blacks games or Warriors games or any other stressful sporting event, that there is a little bit of a spike in domestic violence incidents. And that can be if you lose, obviously there's a level of anxiety and frustration and anger, which predominantly the male in the house may turn towards the family if the result hasn't gone the way that they wanted. But even when they win, even if a side wins and there's a sense of celebration and overindulgence and alcohol and things, that can also lead to, you know, when dad comes home, reasserting his control on the family. And so, again, it almost didn't matter whether there was a win or a loss in these high-profile events. It can lead to a spike in domestic violence. So my role essentially was running the national campaign. I fundraised the money for the resources that we needed, and I used my sporting contacts really to tap into local advocates who would be willing to support the event. So we managed to get a host of wonderful representatives who helped that campaign: Melody Robinson, Richard Kahui, Ruben Wiki, Jenny May Coffin, all people that I'd crossed paths with over my sporting career. So I went to Napier Boys High with Paulie Hanare. We were prefects together down there. Jenny May Clarkson, or Coffin at the time, was going out to the same CrossFitters, my wife and I. Richard Kahui, I'd banged into when I was playing cricket in Northern Districts, because the Chiefs and the Northern Knights were sponsored by the same sponsors. So there was all these kind of people that I'd crossed paths with over the years, who, when I asked them, you know, I told them what the cause was and the importance of positive messaging during the Rugby World Cup. They were willing to get on board, which was wonderful.
Okay, Peter. That's awesome. Now, during your little conversation here, several times I've heard you made reference to your wife, so let's talk about your family and tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah, well, so Jessica Trask is my wife. She's just a wonderful human being, really. She grew up in Mount Maunganui, so I grew up in the Hawke's Bay. She grew up in the Bay of Plenty, and we always argue over which is the better of the two bays. She opened my eyes to a lot of the things which I've been shielded from possibly in my life. I was really fortunate to have a really warm, loving home, and with a small family, everyone was pretty tight. But, getting to know her and the journey of the people that she'd worked with over the years through the domestic violence stuff kind of showed me, the importance of having strong voices and people that can advocate for those that aren't in a position of power or aren't in a position to have their voices heard. So she's been a wonderful balance, I guess, for me. She gave up a lot for me to play my professional sport, and so I kind of feel like now that I've finished playing, it's a chance for me to return the favour and support her mahi and the things that she does. So we've got two wonderful little girls, a five-year-old Isla, who took Jess's name, and a two-and-a-half-year-old Afi, who took my surname. So they're wonderful little girls, and we're having a lot of fun raising them in Glen Innes and Tamaki. We managed to buy our first house, fortunately, about 6 years ago, and been living in Glen Innes ever since.
Excellent. Now, that leads us straight into my next question, which is around local government. So can you tell us why you're standing for local government, or why you're standing for the Tamaki Local Board this year?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not something that I guess I was ever aware of growing up. Sport and politics generally don't mix very often, or at least that's the theory. But I guess the more I sat and thought about it, it's impossible to pull the two apart. Sport and politics often cross over. We just have to look back to, you know, the role that sport played with apartheid falling, with the Springbok tour, and you know, anyone who's ever been involved in coaching young kids' teams, there's always a bit of politics as to who's there, just the coach or which school they went to, as to who gets selected.
That's so true.
As a sportsman, I was always very conscious of advocacy and representing and you know, speaking on behalf of others and leadership and things. And I really enjoyed those opportunities, either with the Players Association or through my sport of, you know, being able to inspire others and maybe be a voice for them if they're not getting the chance to say their piece. So local board government is something, I guess, with more being more and more involved in the tamaki community. I'm involved with supporting the Good the Bad Charitable Trust, which does the Street Art Festival in Glen Innes, and a few other things that got me realising about, you know, which are the moving parts which have an influence on certain parts of society. And having seen the work that Josephine Bartley and Chris McQuarrie and Narissa and yourself have done in the local board where we live, and Alan Beryl as well for his years of service, I really thought that there was something that I could offer based on the skill set that I had built up over the years and some of the networks that I was that I had at my fingertips. And you know, the Glen Innes Tamaki area in particular and Panmure and through to Mount Wellington, those areas are changing a lot with Auckland being put under pressure with housing and things. So those communities are evolving and we need to balance the way that we maintain the old and look forward to the new. And I guess I felt as a young family and as a person who's moved to Tamaki in the last 10 years, I could offer that at the table and understand or provide a voice for those that are maybe moving to the area who haven't got the history that they have but still want to be really involved. So,
I'm
just really excited by the chance to play a part and play a small role, I guess.
Yeah, I think you raise a valid point, because within our Tamaki area, it's currently undergoing major changes with the housing redevelopments, but also with the infrastructure that's going into the community. So this will raise a lot of different issues within the community. So Peter, from your own perspective, can you name, say, two or three key issues that may be relevant, or, you know, that may be issues for people living in the community of Tamaki?
Yeah, well, I think, some of the issues for Tamaki are issues Auckland-wide, and I heard I think it was the Mayor of Whanganui the other day speaking about some of the housing pressures that they've got. So, I mean, a lot of the issues that we're seeing in Auckland do apply to the rest of the country as well.
Yes.
And that, you know, the big one is really that housing pressure. The fact that, you know, there hasn't really been a level of housing development. It's hard to know whether it's a hangover from the leaky building issues that, that the construction industry had, and whether or not there was sort of a lag for 5 to 10 years where everyone was a little bit nervous to build new stuff, and here we are kind of 15 years later in real trouble with housing pressures across the board.
Yes.
So housing is a big issue for Tamaki. Having done the door knocks for the last 6 weeks and chatting to people that live within the Tamaki area, that's something that very conscious of. They're either hesitant about the change, so they're not sure what it'll mean for them, or they're just fed up with the state of the houses that they're living in, which, you know, most of them were built in the 1950s and 60s out of beautiful native timbers and things, but weren't insulated to the level that we need these days and that we expect.
Yes.
You know, they didn't have the heating requirements, and they're just tired that, you know, governments from both sides haven't invested in maintaining the housing stock particularly well. So housing is definitely an issue which, you know, the local board can advocate to the council, that we can, raise the voices of the people that are there, not necessarily do much about building houses, but we can be, we can make sure that some of the other things around that can be done to support those big ticket issues. And then the other ones are around traffic congestion and transport. You know, obviously Auckland Council and the local board can play a role in shaping the transport methodologies that are put in place within Tamaki, be it through, you know, the approval or disapproval or consulting around cycle lanes and you know, the redevelopment of the train stations. I mean, Maunganui Tamaki is in a unique situation. I think we've got 7 train stations within our electorate, which is just staggering.
It is.
You know, that's half of Auckland's train stations all in our electorate, with Glen Innes, Panmure, Sylvia Park, Te Papapa, Westfield, the Ellerslie one on the border, and then Onehunga as well. So, you know, if we as an electorate can get people on trains, because we've got so many train stations within our area, then that will have an effect on the wider Auckland system as well. So, yeah, there are issues which are common to other parts of Auckland, but I guess there's a unique population and passion for the people that live within Tamaki, which, you know, I know that you will feel already being a representative of them, and you know, hopefully we'll get a chance again post-October.
Yes, that's fantastic. And Peter, just looking ahead, you know, what is your, you know, if you could sum it up in a couple of sentences, what would be your vision for the Tamaki community and indeed across our local board area? What would you, how do you see the future of our community? I mean, just in a sentence or two.
Yeah, well, I mean, the future for our community is really, really bright because of all the investment that's happening there. So, you know, I mean, I think a phrase that, you know, we've started to use is really, Tamaki being a place to be proud of. And what I love about that message is that it's already somewhere to be proud of. It's already got a rich culture and history, you know, the origins of the housing, the reason the suburb was put together the way it is, you know, the history of the families that have lived there is all something to be proud of. But there's also lots of exciting opportunities to be proud of as well, with, you know, the new developments, the quality of housing that will be going in, the access to the water and the surrounding areas, which are just, you know, we're in a really great location in Tamaki for access to the water and beaches and things. I hope Tamaki, I know Tamaki is a place that the people that are there are already proud of, but I also know that, you know, that level of pride will increase exponentially when all of these new opportunities and initiatives come into place as well. So it's an exciting time to live in the eastern suburbs.
Yes, well, I mean, I must say, Peter, we are excited as current elected local board members that you're, you know, standing with us for this term and representing the Labor team. And, you know, when I think about it, I think you will bring something new, a younger perspective. You're a young parent, you've got all this governance experience and obviously experience in the sporting industry and along with broadcasting. So I think the skills that you will bring will be really interesting and will add value to our current board, because currently we are faced with so many different projects. I mean, we're not only developing in Tamaki, but we're also developing across in the Maungakeke area. So, I don't know, I sort of see Tamaki itself as a part of where they're doing experiments there. But hopefully they will get, you know, the formula right, and hopefully they'll get the infrastructure in and be able to support, you know, as they're building up in the community, that we will be able to form as a community as well. So
I think that's a really good point with Tamaki. You know, obviously that's our focus, that's where we're getting elected, but you know, we're all very conscious of the fact that those four seats, with the Maungakeke part providing the three seats, and we all when we come together post election, hopefully, you know, we need to work together as a team of seven. And as you said, there are some huge projects across the Maungakeke Tamaki Isthmus. You know, we span from one side of the country to the other. We span from the west coast to the east coast of the North Island, just within our electorate. So, you know, the east-west link is, you know, that still hasn't really been resolved. The redevelopment of the Onehunga foreshore, you know, Waikaraka Park, whether the move from Western Springs, and then Tamaki regeneration, and then the Amity project with the busway through to Pamia. So these are all huge, huge projects.
And that's right,
we only
Peter,
had one
it's
of
all
those
on.
To deal with, it would still be a mission. So yeah, it's a big challenge, but really exciting for the people that we represent, that's for sure.
Yes, and certainly, you know, sitting when you're standing for local government and you're engaged in it as an elected member, you have to make all these major decisions for the good of and betterment of the community well-being. And, you know, we make decisions across the protecting our environment or enhancing it, and also working with Māori, our local iwi and mana whenua. But, you know, there's so many things that we have to do, because we're right in the midst of this huge development, and I can see in the future, it's going to, our community is going to look amazing, both physically, spiritually, and culturally, by the time they finish. And I think, you know, what we're doing now will benefit the generations in the future to come, especially your children. Peter, they're young at the moment, but, you know, they'll be enjoying those facilities and services that the community have to offer in the future. So, Peter, I just noticed that you've entered the Big 4-0 this year. And Yes. I'm in the next decade over, but anyway. I think just in summary, when I'm looking at what we've been talking about, I like the fact that you raised the point that you were from the Hawke's Bay, you've come from Napier, you've been influenced by your grandfather and father, who have been major sources of support for you and your family. You've made a note that you're a country boy, your love for cricket, you've been involved in broadcasting and supporting good causes like domestic violence, and also currently with the that trust you're involved in the Glenlands community. And you talked about your beautiful wife Jessica, who is from the Bay of Plenty, and then we've kind of dovetailed into local government and talking about obviously the tensions between sports and politics along the way. And then you've raised some really major issues that are happening in our community around housing, traffic and transport. And so I just want to encourage people, the voting comes out next month in September, and we're encouraging everybody to vote. If you see Peter's name there, vote for McGlashan, and likewise for all the other members who are standing for the Tamaki local board, because you know, that's one thing we don't teach in our schools is about democracy and being engaged in civic rights, and that especially to make sure that our voices are heard and visible in the community. And also, we just briefly touched on, again, we're just putting in a plug for your sister's cafe, the Retro Grove Cafe in Wellington. People do drop in. So, Peter, in closing, is there any last words you want to say?
No, I mean, I think that's a wonderful summary. Thank you very much for all of that. It feels like I've had a very full 40 years so far. So, but I think you're right about the education part. I mean, the challenge for each of the electoral processes is they're all a little bit different. And even on this local body election that's coming up, you know, there'll be one way of voting for the mayor, and then there'll be a different way of voting for the local board. And yes, then we'll ask you to vote for in our area for the licensing trust. And then we'll also ask you to vote for the DHB as well. And, you know, it's all a little bit confusing, and I think, you know, the more and more we can encourage people to get engaged, do some reading beforehand, it should make the process a bit easier. But I do realise that large parts of our population have English as a second language, and so these things can be quite challenging. Yes. I think, you know, as a whole, we need to do better at that. And then obviously next year with the general elections, there's potentially a couple of referendum items which may be involved in that ballot paper as well. So, yep, you know, the more engaged people can get with the process and educated about, you know, what their vote means, you know, hopefully they feel a little bit more comfortable with whichever decision is made by the collective.
Excellent. Thank you, Peter. I'm just well aware of time here as we're counting down. I just want to thank you very much, Peter, for joining me on the show today, and thank you for sharing a little bit about Peter McGlashan, everyone who lives in the Glenlands community. Please remember to vote for Peter and all the other members who are standing. And I just want to thank you on behalf of our audience here for joining us today and talking about yourself and your life and your career and your family. So on that note, Peter, I wish you all the best with the elections and the campaign coming up. And, vote for McGlashan. Thank you so much, Peter, and we'll touch base with you later on. And all the best and safe travels to Napier today.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Get together next week at 9.05 a.m. Or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/redalertradio.